One of the beautiful gifts of the lectionary of the church is how it helps us to appreciate the unity between the Old and the New Testaments. And one of the things Catholicism teaches is the following, that the New Testament is contained in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed by the New. The New is contained in the Old, and the Old is revealed by the New. And we see this in our first reading from 2 Samuel, although we only heard the first part of this passage that speaks about David becoming king. But if you were to go on and read the next verses, we are told these words, that David was 30 years old when he became king. He ruled in Hebron for 7 years. He ruled in Jerusalem for 33 years, for a total of 40 years. Now think about that. He was 30, when he became king. Jesus began his ministry when he was 30 years old. Then he ruled in Hebron for 7 years. Hebron, seven, the number of completion, of wholeness. He ruled in Jerusalem for 33 years, the age Jesus was when he died. And he ruled for a total of 40 years. 40. That's an important number, isn't it? The flood, Moses on the mountain, the wilderness wanderings, Jesus in the desert. And so what the Old Testament lesson is wanting us to understand, and the church has understood this and put this with our gospel, is that Jesus is the true king. But his throne is not made of gold. It is the cross. And today I'm privileged to wear this beautiful chasuble that I got last year when I was in the Holy Land. And on it you'll see what's called the Jerusalem cross. The Jerusalem cross is, so to speak, the jewels that are in the crown of King Jesus. And there are five crosses here. The middle cross represents Jesus' wound on his side from which poured the water of baptism in the blood of the Eucharist. And the four smaller crosses represent the wounds in his hands and in his feet. And so on this Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, we celebrate the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. The King of the universe, you say? Well, actually, I didn't come up with the title. Pope Pius XI did, but I'll tell you a little bit more about him in a minute. But here's the wonderful truth of our Catholic faith. Perhaps the clearest expression of Jesus' universal rule is in the letter to the Colossians that we heard read this morning. But Paul, in writing Colossians, was in a Roman jail. So he was under arrest during the time of the Roman emperor when he has the insight to say that Jesus Christ is, so to speak, the adhesive reality that holds the whole universe together. In him, all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he's in jail and he's writing and he just can't stop. But we say, Father, stop here just a minute. I mean, the world that I live in, there does not seem to be a lot of evidence that Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. And you're right. There's not a lot of evidence at this point that he is the King of the universe. But what you and I are called to discover in the present is what that thief on the right discovered. There's a beautiful little insight that you can miss so easily. But if you read in Mark's gospel, both guys on the left and the right were reviling Jesus at 9 a.m. But by the time we get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the one on the right has had a conversion. He's no longer mocking Jesus. He's now recognizing that he's my Lord. He's the one to whom I have to turn. And this is the only person in the gospel who just addresses our Lord by his name. The only man who says Jesus. And as he says Jesus, the Lord so beautifully promises, yes, I will remember you, and today you will be with me in paradise. But here's the problem, or the challenge. If you had been at the cross on that Good Friday, and if you had been at a distance, you would not have heard the conversation between the thief on the right and our Lord. What you would have heard was the cacophony the ridicule, the derision. First of all, of the leaders who Luke says scoffed at him. And then there were the soldiers who mocked him. And then there was the criminal on the left who derided him. Well, Luke says kept deriding him. It wasn't just once. It was incessant. And what did each of these three say to Jesus? He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. What are these voices? These are the voices of alienation, hatred, skepticism, calumny. But here's the amazing thing, that in the midst of all of this vitriol, if you'd gotten close to the cross and listened very carefully, ignoring all that noise, you would have heard this exchange between the thief on the right and his Lord. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, I don't have to tell you, this ain't paradise, is it? This world in which we live is one where, be it on Good Friday, or be it in 1925, it was the 11th of December, 1925, when Pope Pius XI announced that starting the following year in 1926, the last Sunday of the liturgical year would be the year to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. So it's a Pope's title. I did not come up with it. And here's the thing. Think about the noise that was at the foot of the cross. Think about the noise in 1925. The First World War had just ended 7 years earlier. Soviet communism was bringing to a huge part of Europe a system that completely rejected God. And there were forms of exploitative capitalism that were oppressing children and others in the name of profit. And so at a time like this, the successor to Peter realized that the church needed to have a day where we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. In my preparation, I was privileged to read the encyclical that Pope Pius XI wrote in announcing this day. And when you read through the various social tensions and challenges that he describes, he could have written it in 2019, or in 1819, or 1519. The point is this, that in a world like this, there is always the confusion at the foot of the cross. But those who are learning to say our Lord Jesus Christ are Christians. And this is what Pope Pius wanted to underscore. He realized that the vast majority of Catholics would never read his encyclical. And he accepted that. But what he wanted to ensure that in our liturgy at the end of the year, we would have this feast that is like a huge crescendo to a fortissimo, and the whole orchestra is playing. Because this is Jesus, the King of the Universe. And in a world like this, you and I have to remember that he is the King of the Universe. Because each one of us, at some time, has asked the question, if you're the Christ, why don't you save me? If you're the Christ, why in the world is life so difficult? If you're the Christ, if you're the Christ, if you're the Christ. But what we are invited to understand that is in the midst of all of the world's disappointments and challenges and all of those voices that refer to this negativity, and today they are legion. I've been privileged to hear Bishop McGrattan speak 3 times in the last couple of months. And each time he has spoken, he says something very clear. He says, we live in a time where the media is intentionally opposed to the Roman Catholic worldview. It's very purposeful in how it is wanting to denigrate, diminish, dismiss, rebuke, ridicule, and scoff, like all of those people at the foot of the cross. But this is what he has said. The bishops of Alberta are taking the lead in Canada to learn a way to articulate a comprehensive and coherent message to tell the Catholic story. This is so those who belong to the church can become missionary disciples. And that's the goal of our diocese. That's their mission statement, that within every parish, we would become missionary disciples that live authentically, that live joyfully, and that live with a heart of service. That's what we're called to. And that's what the bishops of Alberta have actually been entrusted by the Canadian House of Bishops to take the lead to do. And let me share with you in conclusion one way in which the bishops are doing this. It has to do in relation to Catholic education. Perhaps some of you have heard of the acronym GRACE, Grateful Advocates for Catholic Education. Do you know that in this province there are 180,000 children and teenagers that go to Catholic schools? Did you know that the school board in Calgary is the third largest Catholic school board in the country? Did you know that there are 118 schools in our city that are Catholic schools servicing 56,000 students? These are significant numbers. And one of the things the bishops are asking us to do is to recognize something. That there are those voices that would like to silence Catholic education. There are those movements that would like to say we should no longer publicly fund Catholic education in this province. But don't let that discourage you. There have always been these voices. It goes right back to Good Friday. But what the bishops are inviting us to do is something very practical. Between now and the 6th of December, Alberta Education has a survey that you can access online. And it's about choice in education. I filled it out on Thursday. It took me about half an hour to do it. It's a really, I thought, instructive survey that has two parts. One where you can select amongst the different answers that are there, click the one that best represents your perspective, where you are. And then there are boxes where you're actually asked to write a paragraph explaining your answer. The bishops are asking every Catholic to fill out this survey. This survey will be available on our website and on our Facebook page later today. And perhaps if you don't like the halftime show during the Grey Cup, you could fill it out then. Or if it's a boring game and either Winnipeg and Hamilton have just got so much a lead that you don't want to watch the rest of it, you could fill it out then. Or sometime between now and the 6th of December. Please do not neglect this opportunity that we are being given to speak with generosity, to speak with clarity. Because you see, the majority voice will always ridicule Jesus. But Pius XI understood something that is fundamental. The voice that sees Jesus for who he truly is always the voice that in the end will be heard, because it is the voice that is true and it is the voice that is speaking to the Lord. Isn't it great to be Catholic? Isn't it great that we had a Pope who in 1925 understood we needed a day like this? Because in a world of such confusion, we need those who can say clearly, He is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of the universe.